And we're holding on page Memtes in Tinus, the last line, middle of Os Yud Zayin. We're in the middle of learning about different things that different Amoraim said that rain is held back because of this or that, because of this or that Aveira, because of Azus Ponim, or Bittul Trumus and a few other things. So now the Gemara continues. Omer of Ktina. And as we talked about the other day, the Gvura Sari, which is the Shagas Aliyah's Kedushim on this Masechta, learns that these Amoroyim are in fact arguing with one another. Each one would say it's only because of his reason, whereas other Mefarshim learn that's now they're not arguing. Each one was saying something that was necessary for his time and place. Anyway, Omer of Tina, Enak Shamnet Sorin, Elabishvir Bittul Torah. Rain is held back because people are failing to learn Torah when they're supposed to. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Ba'atzaltayim yimach hamakore. The Pasuk says, because of laziness, the makore sags. Now, the simple meaning of the Pasuk means, in other words, you have, imagine a person has a house where you have to maintain a house. Otherwise, everybody knows, anybody here who own, whether they own or rent their house, knows that things in a house are always breaking and you have to keep an eye on them and fix them before they become bigger problems. So imagine you have a person sees that the roof is starting to sag and doesn't do anything with it. Eventually, it's going to sag more and more and he's going to be in bigger trouble. But here the Gemara is darshaning that Makara has a different meaning. B'shvil atzlus shahoya b'Yisrael, because the Jewish people act in a lazy way, shalai osku b'Torah, specifically that they don't learn Torah, nasa sone shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu moch, therefore the enemy of Hashem, which is the euphemism for Hashem himself, is becomes poor, meaning Rashi explains kavyochol as if he doesn't have the ability to bring rain. The en moch el oni, the word moch means poor. Shenema, we have in last week's parasha, v'im moch hu me'erkecha. A person has pledged an erech to the Beis Hamikdash, and then he's too poor to afford it. So we see that the word moch means poor. We have other pesukim also, v'chiyomuch achicha, and others like that. V'im makore el HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the word makore, we're in the simple meaning of the pasuk, it means the beams of the roof or the roof itself. Here we're darshaning that it refers to Hashem. Shenema hamakore b'mayim al Yosef. Hashem is referred to in Tillim as the one who roofs his upper floors with water, meaning because Hashem separated the upper from the lower waters and made, so to speak, like the upper waters are like a roof, like a ceiling over the world. So therefore, makore. So now the makore, Hashem, who had the ability to do that, which Marsha says, in other words, so he has plenty of water. He has plenty of water available to provide, but because they're not learning Torah, therefore Hashem acts as though he himself kavyochol has a shortage and is unable to provide. That's corrected by learning Torah. The Pashto's resolutions to increase Torah. He doesn't. He doesn't say over here. Ktina doesn't say what the resolution is. We're going to have some other ones where the Amoraim are going to mention resolutions here. But Pashto says, well, they're not learning Torah. Start learning Torah. There is, by the way, a fascinating Orachaim HaKodesh on this that says on Parshas Bahar, when you have the Pasuk, Ki yomuch achicha umocha me'achuzosai, the Pasuk says, if your fellow Yid, if your brother Yid becomes poor and has to sell some of his ancestral inheritance, and then it says his goyel should come, the Orachaim HaKodesh relates that to our Gemara over here. Achicha over there in that pasuk actually refers to Hashem. When Hashem, so to speak, becomes poor and weak and is not able to give hashpah, to give good hashpah to us because we're not behaving the way we should, and the result is Hashem even has to sell, so to speak, his inheritance in the world, namely the Beis Hamikdash. It's the responsibility of the tzaddikim shabador, or goyalei akor of elav, but goalus mimkar ochav. It's their responsibility to teach us and to educate us on the importance of why the Beis Hamikdash is so important, and to daven and to demand from Hashem that it needs to come back, that it needs to be brought back into the family. So there also we see that he darshins that the yomuch over there is referring to Hashem. Rabbi Yosef says there's a different pasuk where also we see the same idea that a lack of learning Torah leads to a lack of rain. By the way, there are Mefoshim will point out, you know, B'derech HaTeva, we don't always see that rain is held back because of these kinds of averus. So I think the Sfas Emes talks about that later on in the Perek, it talks about. You have rain that comes, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, directly through Hashem. Then you have sort of a lower level kind of rain, which Hashem sends through Shluchim. He said at the beginning of the Masechta that the key of rain is kept in Hashem's hands. He doesn't delegate it to any shliach, but nevertheless, especially in areas outside of Eretz Yisrael, it comes through the Sarim and whatever, and therefore we're not necessarily referring to that. We're talking about the rain that comes by Hashgacha directly from the Eibishter. Anyway. Rabbi Yosef Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Yosef quotes a different pasuk that bears out the same point. Pasuk says, "Va'ato lo'ro'u or." Now they have not seen light. Bohir hu bashchokim. It's clear. Well, we're going to see in a second a different meaning of bohir in the heavens. The ruach avra batatahrim, and a wind passes by and cleans them up. So the simple meaning of the pasuk is something like that. The word ur can mean rain, as the Gemara is going to give an example of that soon. So now when there's a time of drought, they didn't see rain because it's clear in the skies. And why is it clear? Because a wind is clearing away the clouds. Now the Gemara is darshaning differently. Ve'ein ur el Torah. The word ur over here refers to the Torah, meaning not always. So obviously ur can mean other things, but in this particular place, the word ur specifically means Torah. Because Marsha says the reason is, now, fine, you have some Mephoshim on the Pasuk explain that the word Ur can mean rain, as the Gemara is going to give an example soon, but Papashtos, Ur means light. In that case, what do you mean they didn't see the light because the wind cleared away the clouds? Adadabra, if the clouds are clear, if there's no clouds, then you see the light of the sun and the moon. Therefore, the Gemara is understanding that it means the light of the Torah. So when they don't see the light, as the Pasuk says, the mitzvah is a lamp and Torah is the light. So therefore, when they don't see light, bohir hu bashchokim, when the Pasuk continues, it's bohir in the heavens, tonid veda bishmol, means afilu b'shar shirakia nasa bohurin bohurin, even when the sky becomes patchy with clouds, bohurin, like you have by tzaras, by heres. Is a spot of tzaras. So even when the heavens, even when the sky becomes patchy and spotty with clouds, lahurid talamata, where it looks like dew and rain are going to start coming. Nevertheless, because they're not learning Torah, ruach avra batatahareim, a wind comes. Hashem sends a wind and it clears away the clouds, and there's no rain after all. So that pasuk also bears out the point that a lack of learning Torah leads to this kind of thing. Ion Yaakov points out it actually connects with one of the earlier ones we said that's because of Mesapre Lashon Hara. Well, therefore, when people talk Lashon Hara, the Gemara talks about elsewhere, the takana for it is, besides that they have to stop speaking Lashon Hara, is they should be using their tongues instead for good things, for learning Torah. So here, when they don't do that, so they're speaking Lashon Hara, and in addition, they're not cleaning that up by learning Torah, then you have the consequences that we're saying here in the Gemara. Meruba Midotoyva, but right, so here, when they're not doing the Midotoyva, then continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Ami, Einak Shamim Net Sarin Ela. You have to realize also, you know, one thing it may be with all of these drushes of the Chachamim. In the second parak, it mentions that when they had the whole series of fasts that for rain, which sat in Gimel Prokim of Rambam as well. So they have a part of the procedure is that when they're davening outdoors and they bring out teva to Rechoy V'Shalir and all that. So you have it describes over there how they have a zokin Shabenehem would say Divrei Kibushin. He would say to them, he would give them a speech to be ma'orah them to tshuva. So it's very possible that some of these things that the Amoraim are saying over here, those might have been examples of things that they said on occasions like that to be ma'orah people to tshuva on one or another thing that was going on at that time. Anyway, Amar Rav Ami, Einak Shomim Netzor and Ela Ba'avon Gezel. The rain is held back only because of the Aveira of Rab. Shenema, another pasuk in Eiv, Al Kapayim Kisa'ur, on the Kapayim, or because of the Kapayim, the Ur covers. So simple meaning of the pasuk is that kapaya means the heavens, and ur again means the light, or it means sometimes the rain. But here we're darshining as follows: ba'avon kapayim, because of the avera that is done with the hands, namely stealing, kisa ur, then therefore the ur, which means rain, is being covered up and not coming. Ve'en kapayim elachomos. Now the word kapayim in this context means robbery. Shenema, as we find in the pasuk, I mean, a chomos asher b'chapeim. The people in Nineveh did tshuva from the chomos, from the robbery and the ill-gotten gain that were in their hands. So we see that the word kapayim is related to the concept of robbery and stealing. So because of kapayim, so al kapayim, meaning because of the avera involving kapayim, therefore kisa ur, therefore the ur gets covered up. The in ur elamotar, and the word ur over here means rain. Shenema, as we have another pasuk in Eiv, yofitz anan ure, it scatters the clouds of his ur. Where clouds of his ur means the clouds that would bring his rain. So therefore, so we see that the Pasuk is saying that because of Kapayim, the possibility of rain gets covered up and held back. Holding on page 98 in Tainus. How can Ur become rain? We find actually there's a type of herb that's mentioned in one or two places in Tanakh called Ur Rois, which the Gemara elsewhere mentions. It's a plant called arugula in English. It enlightens a person's eyes. So maybe it has something to do with that. That kind of plant grows well because of rain. So maybe there's a certain connection over there. Other than that, I don't know. That's how it is. It could also be because when there's plentiful rain, then it lightens up people's eyes. People feel good that now, I don't know. Okay. It's, that's how it is. Sometimes you have, you have to b'chlal realize that the language in Sefer Iyov in general is a bit unusual relative to the rest of Tanakh. In fact, the Ibn Ezra goes so far as to say that maybe Sefer Iyov originally, all the dialogues between Iyov and his friends, of which these psukim are a part, maybe they were originally written in some other language, because after all, they lived in Eretz Utz, which is not necessarily in Eretz Yisrael. So he says the whole Sefer may have been written in some other language and translated into Lashon Kodesh. And he says that's why it's so hard to understand, because translated things often don't read so smoothly. So it could be that Ur is a borrowed word from some other language, or who knows. Yeah. Anyway, my takante, so how do you fix it up? Now, the obvious thing is you have to give back the stolen goods and all. But in addition to that, you also need something else. Although the Sfasemes learns that maybe what the Gemara is saying over here is even before they return the actual stolen goods, just what the Gemara is going to say now, to daven extra alone, or at least the Tzaddik Adur, davening on their behalf, may be helpful even if they hadn't yet returned the stolen goods. For one thing, they can make a chlotter to do it. Anyway, my takante yarbe b'tfila. The takana is they should increase in davening. That same posik, the Al Kapayim Kisa'ur, the same posik continues, Vayitzav Aleha B'mafgia, he commands about it because of Mafgia. And what is Mafgia? Ve'in P'gia Ela Tfila. The word P'gia refers to davening. Shenema, as the posik says in Yirmiyah, Hashem says to the Novi, you're going to daven on behalf of the Jewish people and ask me to have Rachmanis on them. Don't bother. Don't daven on their behalf. Don't tifka in me, because they need to clean up their averas. It's not good enough for you, the Novi, to daven for them. So we see that the word poga means to daven. We have also vayakov, vayifka, vamokan. So vayitzav olev mafgia means Hashem commands that the rain should come. After all, even though al kapayim kisa'ur, nevertheless, vayitzav olev, Hashem commands that the rain should come, v'mafgia, because of daven. Then Rab Ami says another drasha in this connection about when the rain is being held back and what we should do about it. My dichtiv, the pasuk says in Kehelas, im keho habarzel. So let's quote the whole pasuk in full, and then the Gemara is going to douche in it in several different ways. Im keho habarzel v'hu lefonim kirkal v'chayolim yigaber v'yisrein hachshel chok. The simple meaning of the pasuk is something like this. Im keha habarzel, even if the iron of a sword, for example, is dull, vahulei fonim kilkal, and even if it doesn't have a shiny surface, normally a sword should have a shiny blade, vachayolim yigaber, nevertheless it will strengthen the soldiers, even if the soldiers are carrying dull and rusty swords, they're still effective. It's still, they still can use them in warfare. The Yisran Haksha Chachma, even more of an advantage is Chachma. Chachma is even a greater advantage to a Chacham than a sword is to a warrior. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Now the Gemara is going to douch in it in several ways. Rab Ami's way is, Im keo habarzel v'hu lefonim kirkal. It means Im ra'isa rakia shekeha kabarzel. If you see that the heavens are dull like iron, milahur and talumotter, in that they're not producing dew and rain. We had them in the Tochefa in last week's parasha. What was the Lashon HaPasuk over there? And then Asati is Shmecham Kabarzel. Hashem says, I'm going to make your heavens like iron. And Rashi explained on the Pasuk, just like unlike copper, which sweats, which you do have some moisture on the surface of it, iron does not. So therefore, it means there's going to be absolutely no moisture coming from it at all. So here we're using the same metaphor that the heavens are like iron and they're dull, in like, so to speak, they're like this, in other words, usually they have the power, the ability to produce rain. And now they seem to have lost that ability and they become like iron. So why is it? So the pasuk continues. V'hulei fonim kilkal means we're focusing on the word kilkal. B'shvil ma'isei ador shein mekolkolin. The reason is because the people in the generation are acting in a corrupt and wrong way. Where does the word v'hulo fonim come in over there? Maharsha says that the Gemara is not darshan in the word the words v'hulo fonim, but he brings from Targum on the pasuk that that brings the same drasha but adds the point v'hulo fonim. They did not seek Hashem's face with davening. So, in Kea HaBarzel, if the heavens are dull and they're like iron and they're not producing rain or dew, Vuhulei Fonim, and the people have not bothered to seek Hashem's face, Kilkal, and they're acting in a corrupt way. So then, so Shenem, Vuhulei Fonim, Kilkal. So that's what that means so far. Ma takonosan. So what is their takona? How do they fix up the situation and ask and bring about that Hashem should bring rain? Yisgabru b'chachamim uberachim. They should strengthen themselves. B'chachamim would mean they should increase the number of chachamim among them. B'rachim means they should increase. They should strengthen themselves to daven for Hashem's rachim. Shenemar v'chayodim yigaber. As the pasuk continues, and the soldiers and the mighty men he'll make strong. So in other words, we're explaining that it means Maharsha says in particular it means tefillah b'rabim. Tefillah b'rabim, therefore it's called chayolim, like I have a whole army of people davening together, and therefore that means that they're bringing about more rachamim from Hashem. Eitz Yosef makes a different point. He says it means they should increase rachamim among one another. They should make sure to have more rachmanus on one another, and that way also chayolim yigaber, they're strengthening the multitudes, the many soldiers, the many members of Hashem's army. The Yisra and Hachshir Chachma, and when the pasuk finishes off, greater would have been if they were correct in Chachma, means Koshkenim Hukshur Maaseh Meikra, they would have been much better off if their ways had been right in the first place, then they would have had rain. So like this, when Chayolim Yigaber, when they have to gather a lot of people together to daven, fine, that can cause Hashem to bring rain, but they would have been better off if they hadn't gotten in that situation in the first place, is what Shlomo is telling us in the end of that pasuk. Avas Esan, on the side of it, here points out that this relates to something that we learned in Masech to Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara had described over there a situation where comes Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the people were Rishoyim. So Hashem decided they're going to have no rain or very little rain that year. Then later on in the year, they do Tshuva. Hashem doesn't tear up the original Gzau Din and say instead they're going to have a lot of rain. Instead, Hashem makes sure that the little rain that he did decide at the beginning of the year, none of it is going to go to waste. It's going to go exactly where it needs to. So still we're saying, the Yisra and Hachshir Chochma, they would have been much better off to begin with. They had been good on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And then to begin with, there would have been a Gzau Din for plentiful rain that year, rather than like this, it has to be done going through the back door like that, like to take the little that was decided and make it, and then make every drop of it count. So that's the Yisra and Hachshir Chochma. In this connection, by the way, that we're saying, according to Eitz Yosef, that the point of v'chayolim yigaber is yisgabru b'rachmim, they should increase in rachmim with one another. The Medrash tells a story about that, where one time in the times of Reb Tanchuma, the author of Medrash Tanchuma, one time there was a drought and they're davening for rain and all. Kitzur HaMaisa, there was a Yid in town over there who had divorced his wife sometime before. And then one day he meets her on the street. She sees that she's very, very poor and gives her a large sum of money. Somebody else sees that and comes and reports to Rav Tanchuma, the Rav of the city. You know, there seems to be something fishy going on over here. What's this guy going and giving so much money to his grusha? Or maybe something going on over here. Maybe that kind of aveda between them is causing the drought. So Rav Tanchuma calls in the guy for an explanation. And the guy says, you know, listen, Rebbe, it says in the pasuk, "Bsarcha loisis alam," and that includes your ex-wife, and then Rav Tanchuma realizes that's taka correct, and he actually uses that, and he uses like a Levi Yitzchak Reditcher, he uses that as an argument to the Eidishter. Even a boss of a dumb has rachmanus on his ex, even though normally you wouldn't expect him to. How much more so you should have rachmanus on us? And rain came. He was the mother of his children, his family, yeah. So now another drosha on that same pasuk, which has nothing directly to do with the rain, but again, since we mentioned this pasuk, Imkeya HaBarzel, so now the Gemara brings a couple of other droshas on it. A Rish Lakish Amar, Imna Isa Talmud, Shetalmude Kosha Olav Kabarzel. If you see a Talmud who his learning is as difficult for him as iron, he's not grasping the material. And one point is there's one of the Mephoshim points out in the Teuchecha in Parshas Kisavai, there's an expression there, V'nosan ur barzel at sabarecha, that Hashem is going to put an iron yoke on your neck. So there's Yerushalmi that says on that, but that refers to Raya, and that refers to all the various worries and concerns and thoughts that are always bothering a person. So here it can mean the same thing. Why are we using iron daft? Because we're saying this Talmud is distracted with all kinds of machshav zaris and all kinds of things like that. In any case, he's not grasping his learning. The reason is b'shvil mishnosei she'ina sedura olav. The reason is because he doesn't have his mishnayos straight in his mind. You have to first learn, we find all over Shas, you have to learn mishnayos first, which is the basic halachas. In modern terms, that might be like Kitzur Shulchan Aruch or something like that. And then after that, then you graduate. We had just last week in Pirkei Avos. Then Esther Shana L'Mishnah, then Chamesh Esther L'Gemara. So after that, you graduate to Gemara, which is the analysis of the Mishnayos and reconciling them and saying when they apply and deriving practical halacha from it and so on and so forth. So here, when he doesn't have his Mishnayos straight, then he's going to get confused because he's going to be trying to learn Gemara and he's going to come up with all kinds of seeming contradictions and things because he doesn't remember clearly who said what and basic things like that. So that's why he's having a hard time learning. Shenema b'hulei fonim kyokal, as the Pasuk says, he does not have ponim, he does not have a face to learn properly because he messed up and did not learn the Mishnayos properly. My takante, what's the way to fix it up? Yarbi yeshiva. He should spend more time in the yeshiva, which in the yeshiva is where they study the Mishnayos, and therefore he should stay there and continue reviewing the Mishnayos as many times as necessary until he picks it up. The Meiri actually has a different explanation of Yabba B'yeshiva. It means that he should spend some time alone and then be misbonin by himself and try to get things straight in his mind. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, b'chayolim yigaber, he should strengthen the chayolim, meaning the armies of Talmidim who are in the yeshiva, he should strengthen himself with them. The yisrin hachshir chochma, and when the Pasuk finishes off, a greater advantage would be if he had been prepared with chochma, means kol shekin, he would have done all the better im the shnosis, duralei me'ikra, if his mishnayos had been clear in his mind, straightly arranged in his mind in the first place. Like this, he went through this difficulty, this period of difficulty, and now he's going to fix it up after the fact. But Shlomo is telling him that you would do better off to proactively make sure that you know the mishnayos straight in the first place. Ki hod Rish Lakish, as we have the example, Rish Lakish himself, who's saying this drasha. He was a Omer v'Oiso. He did what he said in this drasha. Have a Masader Masnisin Aboyin Zimnin. He would review the Mishnayos and the Brisos, the relevant information, 40 times. Why 40? Connected Aboyin Yem Shinit in the Torah, corresponding to the 40 days in which the Torah was given. But Ayel Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, and only then would he go to Rabbi Yochanan to learn Torah. So he and Rabbi Yochanan are going to be learning together Gemara. So first, he would make sure to review the relevant Mishnayos 40 times so that he would have everything straight in his mind, and that way he'd be able to understand the Gemara and to be able to contribute to the discussion, to the analysis, which is Gemara. So there's actually a Tosfos in Bava Metzia, it was in Daf Yomi a couple of weeks back, that Tosfos learned that he was actually a Talmid Chacham to begin with, and then he went off the Derech, and then Rabbi Yochanan made him a Baal Teshuva. So there was a period of time that he lost from learning, but nevertheless, we're saying that obviously he caught up and he became Rish Lakish. But he was saying that every time before he would go to learn with Rabbi Yochanan, he would review all the material 40 times. Similarly, Rabbi Adabaava Masada Masnisin Estrin Ba'abazimin. Rabbi Adabaava, who was a Talmud of Rava, he would arrange his learning in his mind. He would review it 24 times, Keneged Torah and Via Muksuvim, corresponding to the 24 books of Tanakh. And then he would come and learn by Rav. So similar idea, in other words, that he wanted to make sure he has everything straight so that he can get the maximum effect out of the Gemara learning that he's going to be doing with Rav. That's something else. That's to begin with. When you learn something, you review it 101 times. Here we're talking about, they had already learned the material before. Now they're talking about reviewing it before he's going to go for a shir by Rabbi Yochanan or by Rava, where they're going to be analyzing and delving into and asking questions and giving answers on these Mishnayos, which is the meat and potatoes of what the Gemara is. Okay, a third drasha on the same pasuk, Rava Amar, Imra Isa Talmud Shetalmude Kosha Olav Kabarzel. Again, if you see a Talmud whose learning is as hard for him as iron, he's not grasping it, there might be another reason. It might be because his Rebbe is not showing him a friendly face. which might be because the Rebbe himself sees, we learned the other day about the Talmud himself needs to be hogun, he has to have good midas, so it might be that the Rebbe considers that the Talmud does not, and therefore he doesn't favor him. There might be other reasons, whatever the case. He doesn't have a face which was messed up. In other words, his Rebbe is not showing him a good, kindly face, but rather a messed up face, an angry face. Rabbi Gershom learns it slightly differently. He doesn't have a ponim, he doesn't have a good face in learning because Kilkal, because his Rebbe is showing him an angry face. My takante, how should he fix up the situation? Yarba Olav Reim, he should get together a lot of his friends to go and ask Mechila by his Rebbe and go talk to his Rebbe to get him back in his good graces. Shenem of Chayolim Yigaber, as the Pasuk says, you should strengthen the number of soldiers, meaning again the Talmid Chachamim who are soldiers in the yeshiva. The Yistran Hachshir Chochma, and again the advantage would be if he'd been prepared with Chochma, Kol Sheken, he would have been all the better off im Huchshir Maisa b'fnei Rabbi Meikra, if to begin with he had been acting in a way that his Rebbe considers positive. So like this, he can still fix up the situation after the fact, but he should realize that that's really Plan B, and he should be more proactive about it in the first place. Okay, so three drushas on that pasuk. Now that the Gemara has darshan that pasuk, so now the Gemara is going to darshan the next pasuk after in Keah HaBarzel, which that's also going to get us back to this matter of rain and then reasons why rain is not coming. But Amar Abami, my dichtiv, the next pasuk in Kehela says, "Im yishay hanochash b'loy lochash." The ein yisru and the vala loshin. So the simple meaning of the pasuk is, if the snake bites because it wasn't charmed. Now we know you can have a snake charmer that can whatever it does, it plays music or he talks or whatever, and whatever it is to calm down the snake. So if a snake bites because the loy lochash, because nobody bothered whispering and charming the snake, the ein yisrael, the bala loshin, then the one who has the tongue, that snake charmer, what good does he have? What is he accomplishing if he didn't make sure to charm the snake to do his job, and now the snake went and bit? That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Now, Rab Ami is darshaning like this. Yishoich is going to be maloshin rusty, and nochosh maloshin nechoshes. Imra isa dersh, hashamayim mishtakin olav kenechoshes. If you see a generation where the heavens are rusty over it, like So the word mishtakin refers to rust. It actually refers to, for example, we have an Eilam Metzias, the Shosich Tvei, when you find something in an ancient wall and it's very rusty, where therefore you, the finder, can claim that it belonged to the Amorim who lived in Eretz Yisrael hundreds of years ago, because that's why it's very rusty. So we see the word Shosich means rusty. And when iron rusts, it becomes reddish in color, which is similar to the color of copper. So now you have the heavens are rusty, as if like they're not working anymore to produce rain, and therefore they're compared to copper. Here we have the opposite of the Torchacha in Bechokosa. Here we have the example of how Moshe Rabbeinu says it in the Torchacha in Kisavai, where he says, "V'hoyu shamecha shamecha asher aroshcha nechoshes," that the heavens above you will be like copper. Where Rashi explains on the pasuk, it means there'll be a little bit of moisture coming from them, unlike we said before, iron, where there's absolutely none, but still not enough to make the plants grow. Tosfos, by the way, points out an interesting point over here. There's a different Gemara where it also uses this word demishtiki, and Rashi over there understands that it means breaking. But here that doesn't work, because you can't say the heavens are breaking. Therefore, over there and over here, it has to mean rusty. Anyway, so if you see that the heavens are rusty, as if like imagine like machinery that hasn't been used in a long time, that becomes rusty, kinechoshes, like copper, milahurid talamata, and therefore it's not, the rain and dew are not coming from it. The reason is because in that generation, there's nobody who knows how to whisper tefillos to Hashem. Which means, Iyun Yaakov says, one thing is, now we learned before, one of the other Mamiroyim had said that the reason why there's no rain is because of Azei Ponim, because people are brazen and chutzpahim. Well, the reason why the Gemara tells us in Soita, it was recently in Daf Yomi of Soita for Svira, that the reason why the Chachamim made the Takana to daven Shemana Esrei quietly is because some people have done averus and they're going to confess them to Hashem in Shemana Esrei, and you don't want them to be embarrassed in front of other people. So therefore, so now if a person does not daven Shemona Esrei quietly, it shows that he has azus upon him, like he doesn't care if people know that he did aveis. Well, therefore, we said that's a reason why there might not be rain. So here, the problem is there are no lechishes. There are people who don't know the concept of whispering and davening. My takon. So that's in other words. So im yishoich, again, yishoich we're darshining as related to a word for rusty. Hanochosh meloshin nechoshes. Beloy lochash is because they're not whispering Shemona Esrei. My takanosan. So how do they fix up the situation? They should go to somebody. They should go to a baal tefila who knows how to whisper davening, and he should whisper, and he should teach them the proper way to daven. Dichtiv, as you have another pasuk, yagid olav rei. His friend will speak on his behalf. This is one of the psukim. Rashi explains this is an Iyav, reported psukim from Iyav before. Akapayim kisa'ur and yofet sanan oirei, various psukim in Iyav that refer to the rain. So in connection with one of those groups of psukim that talk about rain in Iyav, you have this pasuk yagid olav rei. So his friend, meaning a talmid chacham, a tzaddik, who is a friend of the Jewish people, should speak on his behalf to Hashem. Marsha points out actually that this may not belong over here. This drasha of Yagid Olav Rei may belong a little further down, because the Gemara is going to soon quote the second half of the pasuk Mikna Afal Oila, so it really belongs better over there. When the pasuk finishes Ve'en Yisru in the Bala Loshin, when the pasuk continues, there's the pasuk in Kehelas, there's no advantage to the master of the tongue. That means V'chomish Yedea Luchosh. If you have somebody in that generation who knows how to whisper Tfilas to Hashem, Ve'en Luchosh, and he doesn't bother doing that, Mahano Yashle, then what benefit are you getting from him? The whole reason why the Eved should put such a tzaddik in that generation is that he should daven on behalf of the people. And if he doesn't do that, then he's not. And Marsha gives example that you have later in the Masechta. So if they don't do that, then what ain't my yisrin? Then what the ain't yisrin? Then there's no advantage to them. What are they accomplishing in the world? That's the kind of thing Hashem put them in the world for in the first place. Next, the Gemara continues. Rabbi Ami continues. V'im lochash v'leinene. What if he does whisper to Hashem and Hashem still doesn't answer him with rain? Mata kanose, what should he do? Yelachetzel chosid shabadur. Now at that point, he should go. He's a loichish. He knows the concept of whispering and davening, how to daven like a yid is supposed to daven. But if it still didn't work, then he has to go to the chosid shabadur. Actually, that's where it is. The chosid shabadur would be, for example, Choni Amagel or Pchanina Mendoisa. You take, for example, the story of Choni Amagel, where the story is the entire winter they hadn't had rain yet. Obviously, they'd been davening throughout that winter, and they had the loch she lechishes. But nevertheless, now when that didn't work, then they went to the chosid shabadur, which in that time was choni amag, and similarly other examples. So they should go to the chosid shabadur, the yarba olav betfila, and that chosid should increase the amount of davening that he's doing for the tzid. Shenema vayitzav olav mafdia, the pasuk that we quoted before, that Hashem commands the rain to come because of the mafdia, and as we said before, ve'en pegia elav tefila, the word pegia refers to davening. Shenema v'altisfal al ba'adam azeh v'altisab adam rinu esfila v'altifgab. So therefore, that's the seder of things. So it starts out where they don't know how to do lechishos. So they go to the loichish lechishos. If he's not able to make it happen, then he should go to the chosid shabadur, the mafgia, the one who has a special pipeline of Hashem to Hashem with davening, and he should daven on their behalf. The im lochash v'nene. What about the loichish lechishos? What about the person, the baal tefila, who does know how to daven and does know how to whisper? If Hashem answered him, or the other gears of also be yoda, it worked out and rain did come. The higis daitoi, if at that point he becomes a baal gaiva and he starts saying, "Look what a great guy I am that Hashem answered my tefillas," the higis daitoi olav, maybe afla olam. Then he brings anger of Hashem to the world. Shenemar, as the posik says, this is the posik that starts off Yagid Olav Reyoi, where we said it means that his friend should speak on his behalf. The posik ends Mikne Af Al Oyla, which means that he brings about Mikne Meloshin Makne, like he makes acquired Af anger Al Oyla on the one who makes himself feel high. So in other words, when he acts in such a way that he becomes proud of himself, because look, I daven and Hashem listened to my tefillas. So the result is he's acquiring anger on himself and on the other Bali Gaiva like him. That's Rashi's first explanation. That is Rashi's explanation. The Gemara is going to give another drasha on this pasuk where Rashi gives two explanations. But yeah. So Tosfos, in fact, says that that's a, here's where you have the words Yagid Olav Reyoi. If Yagid Olav Reyoi, he davened, and in fact the rain came because of him, and he's megastaita, then Miknal Afal Ola, then he's causing anger of Hashem to come to the world. Rava Amar, Rava says there's another Jerusha we can daushin from the same pasuk as well. Beis Taman Chachamim should Yoshun Be'ir Achas. When you have two Taman Chachamim who live in one city, the Neuchin or the Ein Neuchin Zelozeba Halacha, you have two different Girsais, and Rashi accordingly brings two different explanations. So first, let's deal with the Girsa as printed in the Gemara, which is Rashi's primary Girsa, the Ein Neuchin Zelozeba Halacha. They're not gentle. They don't get along with one another in Halacha. They argue with each other in a way that in a way that's not L'shem Shemayim. We talked about before, Taman Chachamim, when they get angry, it's because the fire of the Torah is burning in, was burning within them, and other things like that. But nevertheless, you can have where they're not acting in that way, and they're actually taking, and they're actually making it personal with one another. Miskanin Ba'af. The result is they cause, they provoke Hashem's anger, umalin oisay, and they raise it up into the world. Shenema mikna afaloila, the same pasuk, yagid olav reya. In other words, they should have been that they're friends and they should be speaking to one another and getting along with one another and learning, and they're not, and they're making it a personal, they're making it a personal clash between them. So then the result is mikna afaloila. That's Rashi's first explanation. The second explanation, which fits with the Giras of a Neuchin, is the other way around. When these two Taman Chachamim are Neuchin Zelazeb Halacha, they do get along well and they learn together well. So then what it is Miskanim Ba'af. It's like they provoke the anger as in to go away. They provoke Hashem's anger, umalin oisei, and they take it away and remove it from the world because they're acting the way they should. And therefore, we also davshin from mikna afal oila. So not that mikna, not that they're causing, not that they're provoking the anger to come to the world, but just the opposite. They provoke the anger, and the anger said, the anger of Hashem says, so to speak, I have no business being over here, and therefore it goes away. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ogola. We talk about the Suda that Hashem is going to make for the Tzaddikim, the Suda Slav Yosan. So that is, you know, the Rebbe talks about it, is a Gashmiyastika Suda. Now we know there are many Ruchniyastika ideas that are hinted at in that Suda. The Tzemach Tzedek brings it in Sefer Alekutim. There's a mimer in Makutei Torah of Yosin Zayitzar to Lasachik Boy that deals with various aspects of it, and you have the inner meaning of the Lev Yosin and of the Shur Abord and the Yain Hashumer. All of that is true. Nevertheless, there is also going to be a physical soda, because we know, after all, the most perfect schar of Yemos HaMashiach is not in Gan Eden. We're in Gan Eden, as the Gemara says, there's no Achila or no Shsia. Rather, the complete schar of Yemos HaMashiach is going to be in the world of Tchias HaNesim, Neshamos and Gufim. That is the Shitta of the Ramban, and that's how Torah Sachsidus learns. We've talked about before that Rambam holds that Tchias HaNesim is only an intermediate stage. You have Tchias HaNesim, but then eventually he says everybody who comes alive by Tchias HaNesim dies, and the ultimate schar is the world of only Neshamos, when Lo'ein by Achil of Loshia. And the Ramban says the other way around, that the ultimate schar is Neshamos B'Gufim, and Chassidus agrees with the Ramban on that. Therefore, since the ultimate schar is neshamas begufim, then therefore that means there has to be a physical meal, and that's what the Sodas Lebyasin and Shor Abur and so forth is going to be, that, plus all the Ruchniyastika ideas that it embodies. What? Moshe didn't eat for 40 days, and I've seen that, yeah. Nevertheless, we're saying that neshamas begufim implies, in other words, that we're still going to have, where there's not going to be avodas habirurim anymore, because rasruach antoma avim and aretz, but there's still going to be that the eating is going to be on a completely different level. Just like we have al derech, like we have on Shabbos, where it talks about in Kabbalah and in Siddur, that we don't eat on Shabbos for avodas habirurim, we eat it for a higher thing. So it is. Continuing with Hilchos Shabbos. So we were talking about various kinds of coverings and doors and things like that, what you're allowed and not allowed to do. So on Shabbos, so another example is when if you have a barrel, for example, and you're putting a cloth over it to cover it, so if the barrel is not completely full, if you have a space of at least a tefach, then you can't cover it completely, because then you're going to be making an oil, because we said before, the definition of an oil is a cubic tefach or more. So therefore, you'd have to leave a little bit of it uncovered, although the Alter Rebbe says those who are mekel, you don't have to be moicha in them, because there are hetay for it. A general rule, any time when you have a mechitza or an oihel that you're not allowed to make on Shabbos, you're also not allowed to take it down on Shabbos, because the same way as you have a malacha of boina, you have a malacha of soise. In this connection also, the reason why you can't use an umbrella on Shabbos is because it's an oil. So usually people often think the reason you can't use an umbrella on Shabbos is mitzad carrying, which is true, of course, if there's no eruv, but it's also, even if it's not an issue of carrying, you still have the issue of making an oil. He doesn't mention over here, by the way, but there is a din in Shulchan Aruch that also talks about, that it's ultimately from a Gemara in Shabbos, that talks about certain kinds of hats that have a very stiff brim, where you have there can be an issue with the Rabbanon of wearing such hats on Shabbos, because the brim sticks out of Tefach and it's straight out, and therefore it amounts to an oil, and therefore it amounts to an oil aray. So there's different discussions about it among Rishonim, among other things. For example, our hats, the brim is curved a little downward. It doesn't usually stick straight out, so there's much less of an issue with that. As far as certain kinds of hats and caps and things like that, there may conceivably be an issue with the hats, which you'd have to look into. If you forgot to cover your computer with shat before Shabbos, so what? You just want to put a plastic bag over it or something? I mean, that's not making an oil. That's not making an oil. Now, what you do have is there is an issue called mevatel kli mehechonu. You can't make a keli muktzah. You can't take a keli on Shabbos and make it muktzah. So like this, if you were to be putting it, for example, underneath the computer, that would be a problem, because now you can't take it out without moving the computer. Putting it over may not be an issue, because you can take it off without moving the computer. Say, for example, earlier in the simon, for example, we had let's say, for example, to put a keli, for example, to catch dripping oil from a lamp or something like that, you wouldn't be allowed to do on Shabbos, because it's mevato kli mehechon. But you're talking about putting something over the computer. I would think that's not an issue, because you can, the same way as you can put it on Shabbos without moving the computer, the same way you can take it off, so it's not mevato kli mehechon.